Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. You can also listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. If you are looking for a hot tub, and I mean right now, not, you know, in July or August, but right now, you need to go to Hot Tub Outlet because they have a huge inventory of hot tubs in two warehouses and they are ready to sell right now. You pretty much go to any other place in town and they're going to tell you you're going to have to wait months and months. Why? Because they did not get ahead of the curve with supply chains when COVID hit. Hot Tub Outlet, Tracy, the owner, did get ahead of the curve, and that's why they have 15 different models and truckloads of hot tubs delivered every month. So if you want a hot tub right now, if this sounds like you or somebody you know, the only place to go, honestly, is Hot Tub Outlet. And don't forget, when you buy from Hot Tub Outlet, you get hot tubs only made in the U.S. They have great quality and the best insulation. Go to Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton or go to HotTubOutletDenver.com right now. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Former NFL executive and NFL Network analyst Gil Brandt, who built a couple of Super Bowl winners, wrote an article titled, Eight NFL Rookies in the Best Position to Succeed in 2021, and Patrick Surtain was on his list. This is what he wrote. I mean, no slight towards the first cornerback drafted, talking about J.C. Horn, taken eighth overall by Carolina. But I'm quite high on the future of the player selected immediately after him. Pat Surtain, chosen ninth overall, may very well be the best cornerback prospect turned out by Alabama since Nick Saban became the head coach in 2007. And that is saying something considering the talent Saban has produced. Surtain was the highest rated defensive player on George Payton's draft board, and it's easy to see why. The SEC Defensive Player of the Year should immediately step into the starting lineup, and he'll have three veteran cornerbacks, Darby, Fuller, and Callahan, and a cornerback turned safety, Kareem Jackson, to serve as guideposts. You know what this kind of reminds me of a little bit? When Justin Simmons came to the Broncos in 2016, and he was able to learn from Darian Stewart, TJ Ward, Chris Harris, Aqib Talib, Bradley Roby. I think he is that next guy who's going to learn, and those guys probably won't be here in the next 2 to 3 years, and Surtain will.
Yeah, Fuller, one-year contract, although I think we can see a scenario where if things go a certain way, that Fuller might decide to come back of his own volition next year. Bryce Callahan, last year of his deal, and somebody who, when he's out there, he's great, but you can't count on him to stay healthy. He's missed 22 games. But he'll learn from that. I think Kareem Jackson, someone who, like as Gil mentioned, has been a corner, yep, now as a safety. And, of course, they're both Alabama guys. And you know, Kareem's been aware of Pat Surtain probably since the moment Surtain signed his letter of intent to go play for the Crimson Tide. That's the relationship that I think is going to really help Pat the most. That's the guy he's going to learn the most from.
You know, it's unfortunate that guys in certain draft classes get compared to other guys in the draft class. Let me give you a good example. For as great as Bradley Chubb is, there are more than a few Broncos fans that look at Josh Allen and say, what if? I'm guessing a lot of Broncos fans are hoping that Josh Allen wouldn't be very good to give validity to the Bradley Chubb pick. Now, I don't know, 3-4 years later, we are looking at the same scenario with Surtain and Justin Fields. No matter how great Surtain is, will he unfortunately be judged and compared to how Justin Fields plays?
It's not fair, but he will be. That's the reality of the NFL of 2021, which is even more quarterback-centric now than it ever has been. Now, there is something that could happen, or some things that could happen to change that. But it's beyond Pat Surtain's control. If Aaron Rodgers is a Bronco, then that's out the window. No one's worried about that comp because you had Surtain and you got Aaron Rodgers. And then it'll be fine. If Drew Lock becomes the guy, again, same thing. Then you're saying, then it doesn't matter. It's all about Surtain. Until the quarterback question is answered, that comparison won't go away. And it has to be answered to where you have stability and you have a high-level guy at the position. And that's why, I mean, for Bradley Chubb, Chubb has made the Pro Bowl. He's gotten the fifth-year option. He's clearly established himself as one of the better young defenders in the NFL. Somebody that you build around if you're building a franchise. But people are still saying that. It's unfair, but it's the reality of the world that you live in.
Let's go back to the 1999 draft, and that's when Champ Bailey came out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like the sixth or seventh pick in the draft, something like that.
Yeah, because Washington traded down because New Orleans wanted to give everything to get Ricky Williams.
With that, would you have rather had Champ Bailey or Dante Culpepper? Because again, quarterback, yes. Cornerback, who would have been the better pick? Tim Couch was the number overall pick in that draft. Donovan McNabb went number 2.
Yeah.
Achilles Smith went number 3. But Culpepper went 11th. Now, he came out of a small school, UCF, small school at the time. Who would you have rather had if you needed a quarterback?
And the thing is, Culpepper burned brightly, but not for long.
I was a 3-time Pro Bowler.
Right.
2000, 2003, 2004. Pretty good for a while.
Yes. In the end, I mean, if we're talking about team accomplishment, because neither Champ Bailey nor Dante Culpepper won a Super Bowl, you'd have to say, okay, give me the Hall of Famer who, even though he's not the QB, played a premium position. So, in the end sum, you would have rather had Champ Bailey. That being said, Minnesota was good for a pretty decent while with Dante Culpepper. I think it was the ACL that he hurt that really was the beginning of the end for him.
You can't predict that stuff.
You can't, no. I mean, but Culpepper, when he was healthy, like I think it was basically about 5 years where he was an excellent quarterback.
Right.
And that's...
Now, Vic Fangio.
That's an interesting comp because Culpepper, we would say, even though he got hurt, Culpepper was not a bust. Culpepper was a very good quarterback.
He was a Pro Bowler for 3 years.
He was a very good, and they won with him. He was a very good quarterback.
Right. Vic Fangio met the media today. We talked about it at the top of the show, along with some of the rookies. He said Pat Surtain's going to work on the outside and in the slot. Think this means anything? I mean, I think he's more of an outside guy, but why not? Teach them both, make them versatile because you have a lot of cornerbacks. You never know where you might need to put him.
This is saying
you want Fuller on the outside for sure.
Right.
That's a slam dunk.
What you're saying here is we want him on the field somehow, some way.
Right.
And this is also, I think, an acknowledgement that they accept that Bryce Callahan is going to not play 16 games. That the most likely way for Surtain to get the most number of snaps is going to be filling in for Callahan.
Hold on a second. Who would you rather have playing on the outside, Surtain or Darby? Meaning, who would you rather have in the slot? I'd rather have Darby in the slot.
Darby translates well to the slot, but I'll say this. If Darby plays the way he did last year for Washington, and as much as you think of Surtain, as we've seen with some rookie cornerbacks, even ones that are highly touted have had some bumps. Jeff Okuda went higher in the draft than Pat Surtain did.
Yep.
And Okuda had a ragged rookie season.
And he was on a bad team.
He was on a bad team.
A bad franchise, a bad defense. They had Matt Stafford, and that was about it.
But it does usually take a corner. Most corners, even the ones that become successful, it usually takes them about a year.
No, I'm with you. Same with wide receivers.
And that's why the Broncos, the way it sets up, it aligns perfectly to ease Surtain in, and then he becomes the every down guy next year. But cross training him at the slot, part of that is you have to be pragmatic on Bryce Callahan. He's never played a 16-game schedule. He's missed more games than he's played for you over the last couple of years. And who knows what he looks like coming off of this latest injury.
Here's the thing.
And the chances of Surtain playing extensively if you're cross-training him at the slot are excellent, not to mention if you need $7 million to save on your cap at some point, cutting him becomes an option.
If I have my choice between putting a guy out there who is, I don't know, 6'1 and runs a 4.4 40 on the outside, or Ronald Darby, who's 5'11, I don't know how fast he is, that's an easy decision. You drafted Surtain because on the outside, the wide receivers keep getting bigger and bigger and faster and stronger. And Surtain fits that perfectly.
But here's
I don't want him wasted in the slot.
Well, he's not necessarily going to be wasted, though, because sometimes in the slot, when you kick a tight end away from being in line and have him standing up in space, you do that, you're setting up the slot corner to be on the tight end. And I think that's part of what they're looking at with Surtain, is it may be an all-hands-on-deck approach to tight ends. And just in your own division, you have two games against Travis Kelce, and you have two games against Darren Waller.
No, I understand that. Well, it's a game-by-game thing. You teach them both, and that's fine. But Surtain, I apologize.
Yeah.
He's 6'2",
yeah, but
200 pounds.
But that actually, I think, translates well to giving Surtain a matchup where you hope you can improve on your form, because they've tried a lot of other things against Kelce and Waller. They've tried corners. They've tried linebackers. They've tried moving a safety up. It hasn't worked. So why not try this guy who's got premium talent, who maybe is still kind of learning everything at the NFL level, but has shown that he won't be fazed by going against somebody like that. And then,
you know who I want going up against Kelce? Browning, who they're going to start at the inside. That's who I want, because he does have sideline to sideline speed. If anyone is going to replace Josie Jewell this year, it's Browning.
Justin Strnad, because he's a coverage linebacker. But I think Surtain might actually provide the most interesting matchup here, because even though he's going to be at a little bit of a physical frame disadvantage, he is at a quickness advantage. And you're basically acknowledging that Travis Kelce and Darren Waller, they're being used like wide receivers, so put Surtain on them. And I'll give an example of a guy who had similar length and huge skills who succeeded against tight ends. That was Aqib Talib.
Yes.
That was one thing that got him to the Broncos.
Right.
Aqib Talib, I want to say it was against Jimmy Graham, absolutely shut him down when Graham was at his apex.
Coming up after the break, Melvin Gordon was on an NFL Total Access podcast, and he had a lot of nice things to say about Drew Locke, and he's excited for Locke and Bridgewater to be in the same room. But I'm not so sure I agree with the reasons that Gordon gave. That's next.
Pride is the devil. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mount Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. And Rocky Mount Forest Products is the only choice for wholesale lumber to the public, family-owned business since 1974. Rocky Mount Forest Products has become the leading supplier in the state for some of the most recognizable structures in Colorado. You can find their lumber, and you've probably been to these places, at Empower Field, Coors Field, Ball Arena. If you are a do-it-yourselfer, and this is really a shout-out to you, get your lumber from Rocky Mountain Forest Products. Why? It's wholesale pricing. You go to the big box stores, that's retail. Rocky Mountain Forest Products, that's wholesale. I don't think I need to explain the difference. So if you're building a fence, a deck, siding for your home, just think of the money you can save by going to Rocky Mountain Forest Products. I'm guessing thousands of dollars if you are building a big fence or you're building a big deck. With that, you can find Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
All right, Melvin Gordon interviewed on NFL Total Access podcast, and he talked about the dynamic around Drew Lock. This is what he had to say. I think another thing is, well, he didn't have a guy like Phillip Rivers or Tom Brady or someone in front of him to really learn from him, talking about Locke, to really learn the game and really get it. So it's kind of like him having to do it on his own. He's just been kind of like, you know, having to do it on his own, man. That's another reason I think bringing in Teddy here, giving him that competition, I think that's really going to bring out the best in him. I could not disagree more with every single word of that statement. For starters, did Justin Herbert learn from Tyrod Taylor? Probably not. Who did Joe Burrow learn from? At the end of the day, you know, it's nice to have a mentor, but if you can't, you can't. And you know who is his mentor? Peyton Manning. At least that's what's been reported. Not day to day, but he certainly had time to talk to Peyton Manning. And do I think Bridgewater is going to be overly helpful? Yeah, I think he'll be a good teammate. I don't think he's going to be like, you know, Joe Flacco. I don't think it's going to be like that where, you know, it's all about me and I'm not going to help you out. I'm worried about me. I think Bridgewater will be a good guy. But Locke's going into his third year. And you can't keep blaming it on he didn't have enough mentors. You know what he does have? He has a quarterback's coach and a pretty good one in Shula. Let's not put it on he doesn't have enough mentors.
Yeah, and you think I'm thinking back to like the development.
Who mentored
of quarterbacks?
Peyton Manning, right. By the way? Who mentored Eli Manning, Eli Manning did have what? Kurt Warner?
Was Drew Bledsoe doing a lot of mentoring of Tom Brady?
Probably. Well, he was injured, so probably not.
Now, I mean, I think maybe the one that people look at and they say, okay, Alex Smith was there for Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
But we've seen less and less of that. I mean, who was Josh Allen's mentor?
Nobody.
They had Nathan Peterman ahead of him.
Right.
In Buffalo.
He's the guy in Seinfeld, right?
Yeah, Jay Peterman. Jay Crew. Jay Peterman. Yeah. Right. And the other thing is that, like, you look at this situation here, and while I think Bridgewater, if he's the backup, if he ends up losing the competition, I think he'll handle it well to where he's not causing a locker room disruption. Teddy Bridgewater is coming here to win the job.
Right.
Teddy Bridgewater took a pay cut to go from Carolina to Denver because he knew the die was cast against him when they traded for Sam Darnold in Carolina. But in Denver, he believes he can win the job. He is not coming here to be Drew Lock's caddy, to his confessor, whatever you want to call it. He's coming here to take the job. That's his goal.
Who mentored Dan Marino in Miami? Who mentored John Elway here in Denver?
Yeah, Dan Marino.
Who mentored Jim Kelly in Buffalo?
Dan Marino came and took David Woodley's job, and Woodley was a three-year veteran. Elway came and nudged out Steve DeBerg. DeBerg had, I think, I want to say he was in year six by then, but he wasn't proven. I mean, he wasn't the type of guy that Melvin Gordon's talking about. I think the whole thing, like, people are kind of tied up in this because they say, oh, well, you had Patrick Mahomes behind Alex Smith for a year, and you had Aaron Rodgers behind Brett Favre for 3 years. Gonna say this. Brett Favre was not taking a lot of time to reach out and teach Aaron Rodgers.
And Peyton Manning, generally speaking, I don't know if he really went out of his way to really help anyone. If he was asked questions,
right,
he would certainly help out. But let's look at this chronologically as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. When Patrick Mahomes was drafted, They did not bring in Alex Smith to mentor him. It was the other way around, right?
Yeah.
The only reason Teddy Bridgewater is here is because they don't feel Drew Lock might be the answer. You see the chronology there? So you talked about David Woodley. They brought in Dan Marino. Woodley knew his days were numbered. Alex Smith knew his days were numbered. Drew Lock's on the team. He knows his days could be numbered. Right?
You're not bringing in Teddy Bridgewater if you're happy.
Right.
If you were happy with Drew Lock, then the backup would have been somebody who's a clear backup. It would have been like a Colt. It would have been Colt McCoy, who actually played for Pat Shurmur with the New York Giants as a backup quarterback. Instead, the backup is somebody that Pat Shurmur has coached, someone who has learned Pat Shurmur's scheme, and even though because of the horrific leg injury didn't play a lot for Shurmur, certainly has hit Shurmur's respect for what he did in coming back from the injury and also in learning the offense. And oh, by the way, the general manager who brought Teddy Bridgewater in happened to be a part of drafting him.
What I'm about to say might sound callous, but if you are a go-getter and a self-starter and you have intellectual curiosity, this is not a knock on Drew Lock. I'm saying this is a blanket statement. Mm-hmm. You don't need a mentor because you are a self-starter and you are intellectually curious enough to ask questions and you are self-motivated. If you need a mentor, the problem starts right there. Did you, for all the years you've been writing, did you truly have, I'm not talking about college, one of your professors, because I know you're going to extrapolate this on this and try and tell me I'm wrong. Did you really have a mentor when it came to writing that constantly looked at your stuff to make you better? I'm sure you asked questions, but did you depend on a mentor? Because I didn't.
I had an editor who offered me good feedback.
There we go. There we go. Somebody who was willing to help, you ask, but you didn't lean on them.
No, no.
And when I hear mentor,
I believed in myself.
Right.
In my own talent.
And when I hear mentor, I think that person isn't capable on his or her own to do it on their own, and they have to lean on someone to teach them.
That weren't that a Seinfeld episode?
No, I have no idea.
The
if
mentor
it was.
Protege and like the protege couldn't. There was a protege who couldn't do anything without the mentor around.
I have no idea, but listen, nobody really. I took classes in college in television. I taught myself that stuff on my own. You know who the news director was? My first job. You know who the news director was? You know what his job was before he was the news director?
He ran a park.
Close. He was the former mayor of Kalispell, Montana. How much mentoring do you think I got from him? Zero. Yeah. Self-starter, motivated, intellectually curious. You know people who to ask questions to, and you figure it out on your own.
I had a gig in college where I was working with an arena football team in Tampa, and the person, and I was assisting in PR, and I was getting paid very little. And the director of PR had never done anything like that before. And about 2 months before the season, I said, okay, where do we stand on the media guy? And he's like, I haven't started it yet. And so at that point, I'm like, oh, crap. And I spent every spare moment of time the next 2 months learning how to design a media guide, how to lay it out, how to do it all from the ground up, from nothing. No one taught me anything.
Something else, okay? And this happened recently here, and I hope I don't butcher this, because you were here for this, and Danny was here for this. Somebody at the station asked me to give a talk on sales.
Yes.
I'm not that person's mentor, but I'm always willing to help anybody who asks a question.
And there was a lot of good advice in that.
Well, I'm not looking for a stroke. What I'm saying is...
I'm not extreme with you. I'm just saying there was.
Well, thank you.
I was in that meeting, and I've got like 5 pages of notes off of it.
Well, I'm sure 3 of those were doodling. But the point is that I'm not that person was intellectually curious to ask questions, but I don't think he looks at me as his mentor, where he's leaning on me and calling me all the time. That shouldn't be Drew Lock. And Drew Locke's been playing football for a long time.
And I actually would say that that thing you're discussing is more kind of what Drew is with Peyton Manning. Not that Peyton is his mentor.
No.
But hey, here's this guy.
Can I bounce a couple things
here's
off?
Here's this guy who's around the corner who's seen everything. Why can't I, you know, if can I ask you a few questions? Can I get your feedback?
Mentor to me is the equivalent of saying somebody is my business coach or my life coach. That to me says you're dependent on that person. Drew Locke should not be dependent on Teddy Bridgewater's advice.
Yeah.
He can ask questions, but shouldn't be dependent on it. People who get business, people who own businesses that need a business coach, chances are should not be owning a business.
And don't forget, Teddy Bridgewater is trying to beat him out.
Right.
And that dynamic matters too.
Coming up after the break, Ryan O'Reilly getting ready to face his former team in the opening round of the playoffs. Of course, Ryan O'Reilly won a Stanley Cup with the St. Louis Blues. And he went all Joe Namath on the Avalanche. That's next. You don't have to call, I hear my dance like Usher. Ooh. I just found my tempo like on DJ Mustard. Ooh. I hit that.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com.
All right, playoffs are set for the Colorado Avalanche. They smoked the Kings last night, so now they will take on the St. Louis Blues in the opening round of the playoffs. Ryan O'Reilly, former Avs, said this about the matchup. We know they have a lot of talent over there and they work hard, but for us, it's an exciting challenge. We're going to have some fun and we're going to beat them. Well, okay, Ryan, you might beat them, but I don't know if you should have said it like that. I think there's probably another way to say it, don't you think?
Yeah.
Confident guy. Listen, he's a Stanley Cup winner. He has a ring and nobody on the Avalanche does except for Saad. That's it. But a lot of guys on that St. Louis roster do. I mean, if I am a member of the Avalanche, I stick that on the proverbial bulletin board.
You think the Avs need this to get motivated, though?
They don't need it to get motivated, but why not have a little extra gas in the tank?
Yeah, I mean, this is the whole thing where it is, you know, why add fuel to the fire? I mean, I respect O'Reilly's confidence here.
And he's a great player.
Yeah, and
it's not like he can't back it up.
Yeah, and he's the guy, if one person was going to say it in that locker room, be Ryan O'Reilly. He actually has the juice to get away with saying it.
No question. Anybody, he's one of the best two-way players in the game.
Anybody else on that Blues team says it, I think you'd basically laugh and move on. Ryan O'Reilly saying it, okay, that's interesting. Then, and maybe it's actually what he believes, but maybe some of this is also trying to prod his own guys a little bit. Because you look at the Blues, even though they won a title a couple of years ago.
And it was a stunning.
It was.
It was stunning because they were, I believe, the worst team in the league.
In January.
Like, you know.
Early January.
3-4 months prior.
Right. They go in early January, worst record in the NHL, fewest points, and they win it all. Nobody has had that kind of turnaround like that. But this year, in the West, as it's been realigned, and really an afterthought. I mean, we haven't thought much about the Blues. It's been about the Knights, and it's been about the Avs.
Sure.
So I heard this and thought, you know, maybe he's doing this, even though the Blues as a team, a lot of guys remain from the Cup run a couple of years ago. Everybody kind of has the map, so to speak. They know what it takes to win in the postseason. But maybe this is trying to kind of light a fire of belief in his own teammates. Even though, obviously, we're talking about it, and we're talking about it from the Avs' perspective, I think he's trying to reignite something in his own locker room.
getting back to the Joe Namath.
That's the audience it's for.
Getting back to the Joe Namath comment, a lot of people don't realize it wasn't bravado from Joe Namath. He kept being asked over and over again, heading into Super Bowl III against a team that many people thought the Jets had no chance against, Johnny Unitas and the Colts. The way the questions were asked were, hey, do you think you can beat them? Do you think you can beat them? Do you think you can beat them? And finally, after probably the 15th time Namath was asked that question, he said, yeah, I think we can beat them. I guarantee it. It was an off-the-cuff type of comment. And Namath has talked about that many times. This, to me, was not off the cuff.
This was, like I said, this is calculated for his own locker room.
Right.
Namath saying, I think the wording on, hey, we're going to win, I guarantee it. I think, and certainly it got all the reporters that were around him. I think, weren't they at the pool? Hotel pool?
There were pictures of it.
Yes.
In Miami.
Yeah. What a time that must have been. Interviewing a quarterback, lounging by the hotel pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't get that type of access anymore.
Now it's just over Zooms, right?
Give me some keys for the Avs to win this series.
You need Grubauer to keep being the Grubauer that he's been.
No question.
For the last month and a half.
Right.
You need him to be the Stonewall. The thing that that makes you excited about the Avs going into this is that Grubauer is at a level where he can carry the team. The oldest cliche of playoff hockey is hot goalie wins. Well, the Avs have a hot goalie right now. The other thing is, they are backstopped better than they were last year. And certainly Johansson last night coming in, it was a calculated gamble by Jared Bednar, and it paid off. You got Grubauer the extra night of rest, and Johansson was aces last night.
I'll give you a couple of other things. Number one, even though the Avs won the season series, winning five games and losing three, they need to be better at even strength. Because a lot of their goals have come on the power play. And I believe the Blues took something in those eight games, 40 penalties in those games. Mm-hmm. The last time they played, I believe, on national television, I think the game was on NBC. I think the Blues took two, because I was watching the game, the Blues took two quick penalties in the first period, and bang, bang, the Avs scored. I think they were on a 5-on-3. They lost the game. On the power play, the Avs have been fantastic. Even strength, they haven't been as good. Here's something else. Everybody loves the Avs defense, and rightfully so. They have a lot of guys who can move the puck. They have a lot of guys who have speed. But the Blues, like Vegas, they have a physical team up front. They forecheck very well. And Makar and Girard, guys who aren't that big, you can't let those guys get pushed around on the forecheck.
You can't. And the other thing is also, and just kind of interesting, look at the Blues. You could say they're playing their best hockey right now.
Yep.
They've won eight. They go into the playoffs having won eight of the last 12. And those four losses, three were in overtime or shootout.
Right.
So only one regulation lost in their last 12 games. You're playing a team that I think can come out and cause some problems. Should the Avs win? Yes, but don't expect a sweep here. I think the Blues get a game. I'm going to say the Blues get two games. It's going to be 4-2.
Last 17 games for the Avs, how many games have they lost at home? In regulation.
In regulation at home?
Yeah.
One.
Zero. Zero. They haven't lost a game at home in regulation in their last 17, I believe. That's what I read today. They're 16-0-1. Anybody know what that means heading into this series? Nothing. I'd take a hot team over a team that's playing well at home because it's just an environment. It's not like it's going to be a packed house. But then again, the Avs are playing very well, too.
They're playing very well, yes. But the fact that the Blues, I think, are coming in, playing their best hockey of the season. When they had a three-game stretch against the Avs toward the end of the year, they won two of the three. It brings an element to where you can't simply say, oh, it's your typical first round series for a President's Trophy winner. It's one that you can't look past, and I don't think they will.
I don't think St. Louis is your traditional eighth seed.
Not being a champion 2 years ago, they're not.
Because you can make the case, the Avalanche and Vegas are the top two teams in hockey, right? And one of those teams is not going to even make it to the Final Four because of the way the playoffs are set up this year.
It's a stupid setup, but it is what it is.
All right, what do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
The NBA has a new award that they will be giving out for the first time this year. Also, the Cleveland Browns are scheduled to do something no team has in 30 years in the NFL. We'll tell you what on the other side right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports. You gon' think about me when I'm gone.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. And don't forget, you can listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to masterpieceroofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it with the NFL schedule release this week, some quirks have been identified in the schedule that haven't happened in quite a long time. One such quirk, the Cleveland Browns scheduled to play Baltimore in back-to-back games. They will play at Baltimore week 12, have their bye week in week 13, and their next game week 14 at Cleveland against the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens play Pittsburgh in week 13 in between their meetings with the Browns. If the Broncos had to play two division opponents in back-to-back weeks, or the same division opponent, excuse me, in back-to-back weeks, who would it be? And do you think this benefits the Browns at all?
Pick the Raiders. I wouldn't pick the Chiefs. And I wouldn't pick the Chargers with Herbert. Would you?
Yeah, I mean, at least then you could maybe just rip the Band-Aid off with the Chiefs and just get it done in 2 weeks.
It's a buzzsaw. Yeah. It is an absolute buzzsaw for the Ravens.
Yes.
Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, goodness gravy.
Pittsburgh may not be that team that they have been.
I would agree. I would totally agree.
And that may work in their favor, but oh my goodness, I mean, like you said with the Broncos, I guess you'd rather see the Raiders just because you don't want to see the Chiefs back-to-back, and given where you expect the Chargers to go with Justin Herbert, and I would also argue with Brandon Staley running the show and calling that defense, I wouldn't want to go against them. That's actually a fascinating series this year because Staley has worked for Vic Fangio. Sometimes we see that the mentor protege thing, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes the mentor has the advantage, but if the protege has learned some new tricks since he left, sometimes the protege is the one that has the edge, and that could be the case this year with Broncos Chargers.
Just in case you missed it, there is a new NBA award this season to recognize players for social justice and racial equality efforts. The league will be donating $200,000 total, $100,000 to the player who wins the award, and $25,000 for each of the players who are finalists. The winner, it's going to be called the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Champion because he was such a great person helping out the community and helping out with causes off the basketball court. Your thoughts on this award, new for the NBA this year?
You could very easily call it the Bill Russell Award. You could call it the Bill Walton Award. Mm-hmm. Both those guys were all about social justice. To be honest with you, I didn't even realize that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was so involved in this compared to Bill Russell and Bill Walton. Bill Russell is famously seen sitting next to Muhammad Ali and Jim Brown. I didn't realize that's the level that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar took it to.
The one thing I'll say for Kareem is that he kind of, and part of the reason why I think he's getting this award is, he has kind of kept himself in the spotlight more in retirement. Like, we still see, like, he writes columns. He writes, you know, he's made himself into somebody who, even in his mid-70s, is still on the forefront of social justice things. And I think that's why he's getting this. It's not just because of what he was as a player. It's what he's done since he left the NBA, too.
I don't know if I made it clear in the question, but that $200,000 is for the causes chosen by the players, not a bonus for the players or anything like that.
Yeah, and I think even if you gave the players the cash, they'd turn around and give that money to whoever, whatever their causes were.
Just in case you missed it, another little nugget on the Baltimore Ravens. O-lineman for them, Ben Big Country Cleveland, told media this week about his diet and finishing food in his freezer from last fall. When you ain't got no deer meat left, fry up a squirrel or two and go eat that. Have either of you ever eaten squirrel meat, and would you?
I've never had it. Honestly, Mile High Meats doesn't have it, and King Supers doesn't have it. I usually buy what's at the store. I'm not a big hunter, so I'd have no reason to go into my backyard with a pellet gun and try and grill something up.
I don't think I've had it. The reason why I say I don't think is that I wouldn't have put it past one of my aunts or uncles in North Carolina to stick some squirrel in a Brunswick stew that was prepared when I was over at the house, but no, I haven't knowingly had squirrels.
Did you find yourself running fast and up a tree after you had that Brunswick stew?
No, so maybe.
Well, then you probably didn't have it.
Then it probably was just pork or chicken then.
And it tastes just like chicken, I'm sure.
Yeah, my mom would do it with chicken. I knew what I was getting with my mom. It was when we went down on the farm that things get a little tricky.
Yeah. All right, that was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, it is hail season, so when the hail comes and if your roof gets damaged, the only place to go is Masterpiece Roofing. Schedule your appointment today and they can show you how, well, they can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Now, they also do painting, gutters, windows, and siding, and they'll do the same thing if your home gets damaged by hail. Let Masterpiece turn your home into a masterpiece. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Nolan, great job today on MileHighSports.com. Danny, obviously great job all week on the radio. Mace, good week of shows.
Likewise. Have a great weekend.
I will try and do better on Monday. I always say that, but I never follow through.
Oh, stop it. And I always find, yeah, I always find something wrong. You've been putting...